comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. You could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you really matter. The Alternative Universe Eye Conference for June is coming up, obviously, because this is June. It's going to be on June the 30th. That's a Saturday. And, you know, the great thing about the Eye Conference is you don't have to buy any plane tickets, bus tickets, train tickets, gasoline for your car, none of that to get there. It comes to you. And that is one feature that's fantastic. Another feature that's fantastic is we bring you some of the best speakers, some of the best information, some of the best presentations you'll find anywhere, and we're doing it at $10 a ticket. Now, you know, most conferences, if you go, you have to buy plane tickets, rent a hotel, pay for meals at restaurants. It's very, very expensive, and by the way, you know, you end up paying a couple of $100 for a ticket, and, you know, if it's a husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you got to buy two tickets. I mean, it can get really expensive. Well, this is $10. $10 for a ticket. You can't beat it. You can't even match it anywhere else on the planet. Now, those tickets are going to go on sale this week, and when they go on sale, you need to get your ticket real fast. Keep watching my website. You'll see when the big, gigantic link goes up that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. You just click that, and that will take you to the page where you can get your tickets. We got Dr. Brooks Agnew. We got Dr. Courtney Brown. We got Jerry Wills. Well, there's another one that I think has confirmed, but I'm not going to announce that just yet because I'm not sure yet. I will know after tonight's show. And then Greg Bishop, I mean, we've got some great, great, great stuff coming for this conference, June the 30th. But the best thing at the conference will be you. So make sure that you get your ticket. Tonight is free to watch night. That means no matter who you are, where you are, if you have an internet connection, and if you are able to watch streaming video, it's free for you to watch it tonight. Normally, to watch our show, you need to be a member supporting the show, and then you get into the members community, and that's where you can watch it. But a couple of times each month, we make it free to watch so everybody can enjoy and get just a little taste of what they're missing by not being a member here at the Kevin Smith Show. So nobody can fix that but you if you're not a member. All you need to do is get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says join. It's only $7.50 a month. It's not going to hurt most of you, and it can make the difference in whether we get to keep broadcasting or not. We've been making it now, by the skin of our teeth, but we've been doing it for 12 years. We're in our 13th year. We need you to become a member. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be talking with filmmaker Jose Escamilla. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Once again, let me remind you, or for those of you who are just now joining us and you didn't hear it at the top of the show, tonight is a free-to-watch night. That means you can watch the show tonight. Normally, that's just in our members area, in our members community, but tonight is free for everybody to watch. And you need to scoot on over to kevinsmithshow.com. And to watch, all you do is click where it says, watch. How about that? That's pretty easy. Pretty easy. Okay. We are going to be talking tonight with Jose Escamilla. Now, Jose Escamilla is really one of the premier filmmakers in our genre. He's made a lot of films that are in our genre and really step out and push the envelope. And I am pleased that he's with us tonight. You may, if you're new to the genre, you may not be familiar with Jose, but I bet you're familiar with his films. For instance, a lot of you, one of the films that he made a long time ago is Rods. It's about Rods. And this is something that every time Jose is with us, when we open the telephones, people call and ask about the Rods. And so you may be familiar with that. You may have seen some of his work perhaps on YouTube, or perhaps you've seen a trailer, or you have the DVD about Rods. But he's made a lot of films in our genre. We're going to be talking about two that have already been released, and then we're going to be talking about one that's soon to be released, all of them having to do with the moon. So, Jose Escamilla, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, Kevin, it's good to be here again. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm delighted you're here. The three films that you have made related to the moon are two that you have made, one you are finishing up, I believe, and it's going to be released this summer, right?
It's going to be released July 21st, 2012, yeah.
2012, okay. Moon Rising, and at the time that Moon Rising came out, it was cutting-edge front bumper information. But then you came out with Luna, and it was even more cutting-edge, and now Celestial is going to be coming out, even more cutting-edge.
Right.
Would it be fair to ask you, why are you so focused on the moon?
Well, you know, Kevin, when I first did my first feature film on UFOs, UFO: The Greatest Story Ever Denied, I was just like everyone else, man. I grew up seeing the moon as being black and white, a gray orb, lifeless. You know, this is what we've been told for the last 40-some-odd years, 43 years, actually. And when I started doing UFO: The Greatest Story Ever Denied, I did a segment on the moon because there were UFOs reported, you know, by astronauts and all that kind of thing. So in doing research, I started looking at photography taken of the moon and found that it had been tampered with. I mean, NASA did some terrible tampering with a lot of photos. Now, whether a lot of photography was taken on the moon itself or here on Earth in a studio, it's anybody's guess. That's not what I do films about. I'm not trying to say they did or did not. I'm just putting films together that says this is what was waiting for us when we got there. And Moon Rising kind of spelled it out. After I did UFO: The Greatest Story of the Night, I said, you know, I want to do a full feature on the moon because there's a lot here. I mean, we have close to over 100 years of historical situations that have occurred pertaining to the moon that we have not been privy to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have China, we have India, and Japan. They're all going back to the moon. And they're not going there just for, you know, moon dust and rocks. There's something there that we found that we brought back with us that's very valuable, and we're not sharing it with anybody else. So they're spending billions of dollars going back to the moon. One prime minister or a premier from Japan, after they saw what was on the far side of the moon after they sent their probe back in 2007. It caused them to state that they feel that we are going to be invaded by aliens. Okay, so they saw something on the other side of the moon, kind of freak them out, you know. So,
But they didn't release any of those pictures to us, did they?
They have, but they're in black, and I think that they faked a lot of it. The reason being is when you look at some of the photography of the Earth, the real photos that show you what the Earth really looks like, it should not be full color. It should be gray, just like the moon appears to us, okay? Because the Earth's atmosphere obfuscates the true essence of what the Earth looks like from looking at it from the moon. However, on the flip side, when we look at the moon from Earth, our atmosphere obfuscates the color, the true color of the moon. So I've seen a lot of photographs where the Earth is just crystal clear, and that would be impossible. So that told me that they faked it. However, they did photograph the moon for the first time in full color during the Apollo 8 mission, and they used a regular, you know, three-color camera to film, to photograph it. So, and the moon is not gray, it was brown. The Japanese version, the moon looks green or a gray sometimes, yet the Earth is full color. So I think that there's a lot of, you know, faking things that are going on. Also, check this out. The Chinese Space Administration, when they released the full map of the moon, which is a flat, you know, they flatten out the sphere.
Yeah.
And it's a flat map of the moon. And they're standing there at a press conference. I've managed to download that photograph, and thank goodness that I did, because you'll never see it again. It's not up there anymore. But what it was, it showed the Chinese scientists standing in front of this huge tapestry, this big photo of the full of the moon map, and then the north and the south pole of the moon that they photographed with their probe. And it was in full color. But when they released the official photo that was released to the press, you know, that afternoon or that night, it was black and white. So,
why do you think that was?
Well, as you're going to see in the new movie trailer that we're going to premiere on your show tonight, by the way, Kevin, I have found structures that are there, and I would never have found them looking at the stuff in black and white, because in black and white, we have no depth of perception. We cannot see what's really there. In full color, it's a total different story. Because now, all of our faculties are together, man. We're seeing the moon in full color, and we can see depth. We can see perception. I mean, there's things happening on the surface of the moon that look like there's water there, oceans. Okay, what do you think they call the Sea of Tranquility? There are things that seem to be submerged underneath water in vast areas. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening with the full color photography of the moon. So,
Well, okay, you know, they have finally admitted that, yes, there is water on the moon. And there is a lot more water on the moon than what anybody had imagined. But the Sea of Tranquility, are you saying it's an actual sea of water?
No, I don't want to go out on a limb here. What I'm saying is, when you're looking at full color photography of the moon, you get the perception, when you're seeing it in full color, you get the perception that there are things underneath water. You know how you look at a pond and you can see it's kind of hazy, and you see certain things, rocks and formations underneath the pond, and it's kind of murky, you know, but you can still see things under there, but not in true focus. This is what some of the photography of the moon looks like in full color. And by the way, this photography was taken in 1994 during the Clementine mission. And they sent this Clementine mission probe up there. And what they did is they re-photographed the moon in full HD, full color, high definition digital photography. They took 1.8 million photographs of the moon. What the way I found the photography was, I was looking for a replica model of the moon for my CGI program, because I wanted to have a scene in moon rising where we zoomed from Earth all the way to the surface of the moon. Now, at that time, this was in 2009 in February, at that time, I was looking for, you know, a surface map so I could wrap around a sphere and have the most realistic-looking moon. So I contacted a couple of friends of mine that work here in the studios. They do Star Trek and, you know, Battlestar Galactica. I said, guys, where do you guys go to download those fantastic-looking realistic planets of Earth and Saturn and Jupiter? Where do you guys get that stuff? And they said, oh, just go to mapaplanet.org. M-A-P-A-Planet, mapaplanet.org. So I went there, and I clicked on the gray moon, and there were five options. In the center, dead in the center, and your listeners can check it out, there's a thing that says natural color of the moon. So I clicked on that, and this was in February 2009, a month before I released Moon Rising. I wasn't even finished with it. I clicked there, and my whole perspective changed forever on the moon. Come to find out that the moon is a full-color celestial body. And when I did Moon Rising, you were at the movie premiere at the Emmys Theater. I presented a little bit of the full-color photography. At that time, I just barely downloaded it. And then when I did Luna, I had spent time looking at some of this photography. And in Luna, I revealed a lot of great stuff, a lot of incredible photography.
As a matter of fact, we are going to look at two shots from Luna tonight. One of them makes you raise an eyebrow. The other one makes you raise both eyebrows and then rip them off. I found things in the shots, the still shots, from your movie. You and I talked about these two pictures today, and the one that I said will make you rip your eyebrows off. I found some stuff in there you had not seen, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because when I did Luna, I featured this one shot, and I'll go ahead and mention the first shot. It appears to be a statue of some kind. And at that time, I thought it was a male statue with a small alien gray statue standing in front of him. But then it also looks like he's holding some kind of a... what do you call those hammers?
Jackhammer,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really do that much in-depth analysis on it. I was doing the movie Luna. I wanted to get it out. And I just kind of just zoomed into it. It was an incredible thing. That thing must be about 6 miles high at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, we're going to take a look at it. We will do that after this next break. Or we will get to the pictures after this next break. But when you did Luna, now when you did Moon Rising, you did not have full color photographs of the moon, and you invented a way to colorize the moon.
Well, I know I did have towards the end of the movie. I do have color photography because after I found this photography, I go, holy cow! Up until that point, I had just done a movie called Moon Views, which. And I put this in the movie Moon Rising, which I've edited this whole section out. The whole section where I said, hey, I wanted a color poster for my movie. So I decided to airbrush one of these black and white photos, Apollo photos. Well, I wound up, you know, airbrushing close to 800 photos, you know, because I started looking at it in full color. And I used earth tones, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But as I was airbrushing this stuff, the anomalies popped out at me in full color. And I go, holy moly, man. By airbrushing these in full color using earth tones, the whole surface of the moon came alive. It looked like there are structures there. I could see them. Okay? Now remember, mm-hmm. This is in color. And what I did is I took that whole section of the new version of Moon Rising. I no longer talk about that I airbrushed it because later on in the movie, when I did show the true full color photography, a lot of the skeptics and debunkers out there said, no, that's not full color. The moon is not full color. That's Jose Escamilla airbrushed those photos. And I did not airbrush them. They were the actual photos from the Clementine mission. But all that has changed. But originally, yeah, I had airbrushed them. And I have a movie out called Moon Views that is all my airbrushing work that I did on for hours and hours on this.
How close did you get?
Pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, because... as they say, on Earth as it is in heaven. I mean, my partner Saskia, when she saw for the first time the full color photography of the moon, as I saw it, I was pretty doggone close, man, you know.
I thought
but,
so.
But, however, I'm sorry, But the full color of the moon is incredible, way beyond our imagination, man. It's like visiting a total new planet.
And our eyes, except for those who are colorblind, we're used to seeing things in color, and because of that, we have a greater depth perception of things in color. If we see a picture that's in color, then we have the greater depth perception as we look at that photograph, because that's the way we see the world. That's exactly the way we see everything. If you make it all red like they do with Mars, you lose depth perception. If you make it all gray like they do with the moon, you lose depth perception and definition.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the crazy things is in moonrising and in Luna, I think I had to explain why the moon looks gray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I have a big surprise for people, man. In the movie Celestial, we clinch it. I don't even have to go and explain it anymore. Okay. You're going to see, when you see the trailer, you're going to find out that we just the opening minutes of the movie itself, Celestial, we prove without a doubt, I mean, we can prove that you can actually see the moon in full color from a regular telescope here on Earth. And the major observatories have known this. The astronomers have known this. Certain professors of astronomy have known this, but they're keeping it from the public, man. But guess what? We're going to crack the egg on, we're going to break the egg on this one. All right, come July 21st, the whole perception of the moon is going to change in people's minds, because now everyone's going to find out that that the moon is a full-color celestial body. It's the closest celestial body in our immediate universe.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think if people see Luna, in fact, you came here and we did a special broadcast with you just in our members community, where you shared with us some big chunks of Luna before it was even finished.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, we had people saying, ooh, and wow, and geez, and, you know,
yeah,
for weeks and weeks, because they had never seen the moon in full color. But yeah, these photographs are photographs that are at the USGS, right?
Yes, it's the United States Geological Survey, the astrogeology section.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've always maintained, NASA says we never lied to you. Well, they did lie to us, number one, but they never also told us where to look to find stuff like this. I found this by accident.
Mm-hmm.
For a CGI black and white moon, and, you know, had to find full color photography. And, you know, when Moon Rising came out after that, I'm glad I downloaded the photography that I did at that time, because after Moon Rising came out, people started visiting the Mamba planet and seeing the full color photography of this.
Jose, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up right there when we come back, folks.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. And we went away for break, and when we went away for break, Jose, you had just begun to say something, and we had to cut you off, but something about those pictures at USGS, I think. The floor is yours.
Yeah, what happened was, after Moon Rising came out, a lot of people started paying attention and checking out the USGS website. Luckily, I had downloaded close to about 850 photos, because shortly thereafter, probably around the latter part of 2009, they tampered with the photos even there on the Map of Planet website. They actually overexposed a lot of the photography, ruined it, man. I mean, you go there now and try to download Aristarchus, It's not going to look anything like what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded some pristine, clear photography of incredible stuff that's up there. I mean, they do have some photographs that are okay, salvageable, but for the most part, they've overexposed everything and ruined a lot of the areas where there were major anomalies. Luckily, I downloaded them.
Do you think your movies had anything to do with inspiring them to do that?
Well, I know for a fact, I had one website that was closed down, the Navy website. It was the Clementine Browser 1.5, which at the time when I came out with it, I opened Moon Rising with it. I showed that huge object that was airbrushed and that they smudged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After Moon Rising came out, they shut that down, man, quicker than you can think, man. And they have now the Clementine Browser 2.0, which has nothing. You go to the same crater, which is called the Zeeman crater, Z-E-E-M-A-N crater. That object is gone. And from what I understand, it might still be there, because I think that's what the Japanese saw that's resting on top of that crater. It's just that it's on the far side of the moon. We never get to see.
Yeah.
So,
At least one photograph during this segment before we have to take a break. But before we get to the photographs, I want to explain to our audience why I selected these photographs, because Moon Rising and Luna are absolutely jam-packed with images from the moon. These are images downloaded from the USGS. Astronomical survey?
Yeah, it's the Astrogeological Survey.
Astrogeological
area.
Survey. So these are official photographs.
Yeah.
And these movies are jam-packed with images that show what appear to be structures, and in some case very elaborate structures, some case lighted elaborate structures, and in some case it looks like gigantic vehicles of some kind. And so these movies are jam-packed with that. So why did I choose the photographs that we're going to talk about tonight? Here is why. Whenever we look at structures, what the debunkers always say is, well, you know, geology can produce things that look like a building when really it's not, and it looks like a machine when really it's not. But here's the deal. Artwork is not something that geology does. Now, it will sometimes produce a side of a mountain that vaguely resembles a face or something like that. But we're going to look at some very intricate artwork, very sophisticated artwork that's on the moon. Now, when you have artwork, art equals civilization. Now, that does not mean that I'm saying there's someone living there now. There might be. I don't know this. I'm not asserting that there's someone there now, although it would not surprise me at all. But what we're going to see, I am asserting, means someone has been there or is there now. Someone at least has been there. And art equals civilization.
Whoa.
What happened?
My module just disappeared. You just disappeared from my...
Well, we can still see you, so don't worry about it. Okay? We can see you. Unless you disappear, then...
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, we could expect it, couldn't we, Jose?
Go figure. But yeah. You at least have the CelestialMovie.com link in case I wind up getting knocked off. Weirdness is going on right now.
Okay. All right. Well, if you do get knocked off, we'll work around it. We'll find a way around it. Okay. I want to bring this picture up. And this is a picture, Jose, this is the one that I said to me looks like it could be a fountain. And, we did lose Jose, and we'll see if we can get him back here in just a moment. This looks like a fountain. Now, you might be looking at this and saying, well, it's so dark, I can't really tell. When I first looked at this, what I saw was it appeared to be a statue of a figure that is seated with his legs dangling into this fountain, what I'm calling a fountain. There appears to be a pipe coming from the left side over into the fountain. Now, this figure that's seated there, it appears to me that it may have a... There may be two figures here, okay? The larger one that's seated, and then perhaps a child seated on its... that would be its right knee. Or perhaps that's just a statue of a person standing next to this big figure and hugged up to it. Okay, now what we're going to do is I've taken this picture. This is a still shot right out of Luna. And what I've done is what you're going to see is I've taken this picture and I've run it through some processing to lighten up some things and to auto-level the color. So when we auto-level it, now you have to look pretty closely, but you can see it's almost a cartoonish face. And then there is this, it looks like a person with a hat, a flat-topped hat. On, as you look at the picture, it's on the left side of the big figure that's seated there. But notice that the hole in this well, or in this fountain, we can now see is not round, but is actually shaped like a stop sign. And that's pretty interesting. Now, this may just be an accident, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to attempt to call Jose. And we'll see if we can get him on the telephone now. We're not able to get him up on Skype, but that's no big deal.
Hi.
Okay, so, Jose, this is Kevin. Yeah. Yeah, are you able to reboot your computer and get Skype back up?
I just do it, and then it shows that you're not on the air.
Okay. All right. Well, we are on the air, and I'll work with you on that and on into the next break here. We'll see what happens. Stay on the phone with me because I want to talk with you about these pictures as you try to get Skype back up.
Yeah, I just rebooted Skype. It's not working. Let me try.
Okay.
That was weird. It just went weird on me.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this picture that I said looks like a fountain. This is one, folks, where I'm fully cognizant of the fact that as you look at this, you're probably going, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a stretch. Yeah, it is. It is kind of a stretch. But I wanted you to get a little flavor, a little bit of being used to seeing what is there. Because the next one that I'm going to show you, and we'll come up with that one after this next break, is not a stretch at all. It's the one that I said you have to rip off both eyebrows. But look, here's the deal. And Jose, it looks like your Skype has come back up, so we'll go ahead and give you a call on Skype. And after you answer me on Skype, then we'll discontinue the telephone.
Okay.
So, folks, the one that is that we've been looking at, yeah, it's kind of a stretch, but you can see what I'm talking about. There are some facial features, almost cartoonish facial features to that thing sitting on the side of what looks like a well or a fountain. And you can see part of, you know, it looks like a statue of sort of human. And you know, who knows what that is. But it kind of looks like a fountain or a monument or something. Okay, we've got Jose back on Skype. So, you know, we're accustomed to weirdness happening when we have you on the show, Jose. It it happens almost every time.
Yeah, well, that was pretty bizarre because I had to reboot the computer twice.
Yeah.
And it never happens.
Well, is it a Mac or a real computer?
I have a Mac.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Well, okay, well, I understand.
I was just a Mac.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is kind of a stretch, and yet I think you can see that even if you look at the picture on the left, folks, that's the one that comes right out of Jose's film, okay? If you look at that, you can see that there's something there that's not part of the rest of the terrain around it. And then whenever we brighten it up and auto-level it to see what is that, the software, I think, is responsible for turning it green, although you see a little bit of greenish-gray in the original photograph. Now, that's all I can say is that's something. And if you look real carefully next to, don't laugh when I say it's something, and you say, well, obviously it's something. Don't laugh at that. I just don't know how else to say it. But if you look real carefully at the original photograph, you can see the front side of, look at the rim of this, I'm calling it a fountain, or it could be a well, or I don't know. But look at the front side of it. That looks like brickwork there. And, you know, it looks like the stones were laid in that pattern. And it doesn't look like something that geology did. Now, what we're going to do, hopefully we can keep Jose with us here on Skype, and we'll get you back in, when we come back from this break, we'll get you back on screen with us. And I want to move to that next picture. But let me ask you this in 20 seconds. That's all we've got. What do you think that thing is that I'm calling a fountain, Jose?
You know, to me, it looks like one of those Transformers from the movie, Transformers, but it's huge. Whatever it is, it's massive, okay? You have to realize that the perspective on the moon, things are that...
Our 20 seconds is up. All right, we'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And so far, we still have Jose with us. That's looking good, and hopefully it'll stay connected.
Yes.
But if it doesn't, we have that workaround, and we'll do that if that's what we need to do. But, all right, I want to move. Now, you said, before we move to this next picture, you said that looks like, to you, like one of those Transformer toys, but it's gigantic. And you said something about perspective on the moon, and then we got cut off.
Yeah, the moon is a third the size of Earth, okay? So a lot of the photography you're seeing there, it's about 170 miles above the surface from that distance. Some of the photos are 75 miles or 70 miles from the surface. So anytime you have an object just like that object there that's on the surface there, that's a massive object. It could be 5 miles high easily. You know, so people just have to realize that the perspectives on the moon are way bigger than what you imagine. I have a tower that appears in the movie Celestial that I just found a few days ago, And you're going to see this in the movie trailer. That's probably about 10 miles high. And it's a tower. It looks like the Eiffel Tower. And it's the most clearest photo I've ever seen of a tower, ever.
Okay, let's move on to this next picture. Now, again, folks, remember, I chose these two pictures. These movies are packed with just phenomenal things all over the moon. Now, the reason I chose these is because artwork is not something that just happens naturally. Artwork shows intelligence, but it also says this: art equals civilization. It may be a big civilization, it may be a small civilization, but it's a group of people who are paying attention to things that make a civilization a civilization. Art is one of the big things that makes a civilization, that makes a population a civilization. All right, so let's take a look at it. Now, this is pretty amazing. This is from the movie Luna, and we actually talked about this the last time you were here. And this is the picture that you mentioned at the beginning of our show, Jose. It's a picture of a statue, and this statue, or it looks like a statue. Mm-hmm. And this statue looks like maybe he's holding a jackhammer, and maybe there's a little alien gray statue there beside him on his right side, our left. There's something there. Well, when I was watching Luna, and I saw this again, I decided, you know what? I'm going to see what kind of detail I can get out of that. So I zoomed in, and when I zoomed in, I was getting more detail, and it looked curious, and I said, well, I see things in this picture that we didn't talk about. Now, folks, I want you to take a look. If you're not watching the show, that's I'm sorry. You could be. It's free to watch tonight. And, you know, we're showing the pictures. So don't limit yourself. It's free to watch. Watch it. In this picture, let your eye just focus on either one. The smaller picture on the left, we have the zoomed in picture on the right. Either one. All the details are in both pictures. Now, what we see, as you said, this is probably from at least 70 miles up and maybe higher. Mm-hmm. How tall is this statue?
I would guess at least 6 miles high. 6 to 8 miles. Because when you look at the real photo from way up there, you know, mm-hmm. and you see the distance that this thing is, that thing is huge to be able to be perceived just by looking at it first. That's the way I caught it. I go, what in the heck is that? You know, then I zoomed in. What you have is a very zoomed in picture of it. This thing is about that tall from the distance, you know, that they were up there. So it's huge. Whatever that object is. And you're talking art. You're talking a sculpture. This is a sculpture of something.
It appears to be, yeah. But there are a lot of details in this picture besides this sculpture. And, folks, just let your eyes wander through the picture. I realize that zoomed in this much, it is somewhat pixelated. But the point is, you can see in the small picture the same details that we can see in the larger zoomed-in picture. Now, I'm going to do something here. What I'm going to do, we're going to take this zoomed picture, and I'm going to scoot it over to the left side of the screen. And on the right side of the screen, we're going to have the exact same picture, but all I did was tell my software to auto-level. What that does is it auto-levels all of the color and so forth. Now, watch what happens when we do that. Okay, once we auto-level this thing, we can see that's not a little alien gray down there on the right side of this sculpture. It's our left side. I'll just refer to these pictures as we look at them, okay? So it's the statue's right side. It's where, as we look at the picture, it's on the left side of the statue. Okay, or the left side of the picture. That looks like that is another sculpture of, but it's not a little alien gray. It looks like some kind of animal there. But again, let your eye wander through the picture and compare. These are exactly the same picture, except one of them has been auto-leveled. So all the details are in both pictures, as you can see. But have you really seen all of the details? For instance, on the one that's been auto-leveled, look at the statue's abs. You can actually see his ab muscles. You can see the muscular arm. I wish we could get a more detailed, better picture of the face and the head, but that looks like some sort of headgear on the statue. But there are more details there. And let's take a look at some more of the details, things you may have missed. For instance, on the right side of the picture, ascending a hill beside the statue, are steps. Now, there's some kind of bright spots on the steps. We can see that even in the one that has not been color corrected or auto leveled. I'm not sure what those are, but it almost has the appearance of water trickling down the steps and pouring over the steps. The animal looks like it might be, I mean, it kind of has the appearance of a lion. Sometimes when I look at it, it kind of looks like maybe it's a bear. At points, it even has looked to me a little bit like a giant guinea pig, but it's huge. And then there are some buildings back there behind the statue. And above those buildings is more building, and we can see some pillars. Now, maybe your eye is saying, well, I just don't see that. So here, see it. I've outlined it for you. Okay? Now, when I remove the outlining, I'm going back to the original picture and see if that stuff is still there in the original picture. You see? It is. It's all still there in the original picture. Now let's go back to the auto-leveled, and we'll take a look at the buildings back there again. But you can see that there is structure back there. Now that structure, Jose, that's what, you know, they come along and tell us, well, you know, that's a Chinese wedding lamp. Or, you know, that's a pile of crash test dummies that we dumped up there. But, I mean, that's the way they do it. But, you know, it's kind of hard to deal with this statue out here.
Well, I'll tell you, when I mentioned earlier that it appears there's some certain things underwater.
Yeah.
That's the way those look. I have an even better photo that I downloaded of this particular area, and there's a lot more detail than what I did on Luna. This was a better photo that I found than I had here. I just went, for the last week, I've been going through every photo that I ever downloaded. And I found a better photo than what I put in Luna.
Okay, and this photo is from Luna, so.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I have a much better one. It's going to be in Celestial, and you're going to see a lot more details, too. Now that you've alerted me to this, I'm going to, when I do the animation, when I get to that animation, I'm going to really pay close attention and look for that bear.
We have to step away for a break, Jose. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour, because you really missed several universes of information. However, we will be looking at one of those pictures again. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. And Jose Escamilla is, of course, one of the premier filmmakers in our genre. And he has been talking with us about some movies that he has made and is making about the moon. And the first one that I was aware of was Moon Rising, although I understand there was one called Moon Views. And then Luna. And now he's working on one called Celestial. And all of these movies, well, not all, but Moon Rising, Luna, and Celestial all have to do with the true colors of the moon. And when you see it in living color, you see things that you didn't know were there. Jose, let's talk a little bit about the clearer picture that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have Photoshop.
Yes.
Okay. If you take that clearer picture and zoom in on this statue, then you may, with Photoshop, you know, especially if you auto level it, you may actually pick up some facial features on this statue.
I am going to do the best effort in getting in there as much of a close up as I can, and luckily this was an untampered photo when I downloaded it.
Uh-huh.
Reason I found it, like I said, I'm finishing up the movie. I'm about a week away, a week and a half from getting the movie delivered. It'll be done, okay? I'm going to send you a copy so you can look at it before the release. But luckily, I went through every file, and it took me close to a week. And I found this photo. I go, holy moly, here it is. And it's a real good close-up, and it's in full color. It's really dynamic, all right? It's a purple-looking object, whatever it is. It's a sort of a deep purple, light violet object. So it's
That's very interesting, because when I put it into my software and had it auto level, it comes out with a kind of a light purple or violet hue.
Yeah,
it sure does.
Well, it has that, and you know the backdrop is you know where the stairs are. Those are yellow, sort of a yellowish color.
Hmm.
And It's just an amazing thing. I'm going to definitely go in there with Photoshop and look into this. And whatever I find on it, when I come to do that animation to present it within the movie, I'm going to go in detail on it, because it is a massive structure. And I do this with a lot of the photography in the movie Celestial. I take you there. And I don't leave the joint. I don't leave the area until you have seen everything that's there, all the details, because this is the important thing. It's like traveling to some unknown island somewhere, and we find some structures, some pyramids, and things that you'd want to get as much information visually out to, you know, to the public, so they can see what's there. And mm-hmm. This is what I do. I spend a lot of time on craters, domes. I even found a dome that has been broken. It's cracked, and you can see inside it. So whatever happened to this glass dome, it had been broken. And you can see the break. It's clear that it has been broken. Okay? And inside there were some structures and damage done. So who knows what might have caused that, you know? But I spent a lot of time showing you, the viewing audience, what we've been missing on the moon. Gray photos are not going to do it for you. This object I would never have found had it not been me looking at a full-color photograph. And now you have to imagine this too, Kevin. This was shot in 1994. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
No telling what's there now. You know.
Well, now that your movies have focused on this, and now that this show has focused on it, it's likely to go missing from all of the Clementine photos as well.
It doesn't matter. I've downloaded, and I have all my archives saved, believe me. Anything ever happens to this computer or myself or whatever, if I disappear, everything's archived, so it'll never be missed. It'll always be available for the public.
Okay, let's talk about Celestial. What's the difference between Celestial and Luna?
Major difference. First of all, when I did Luna, this was back in 2010, I think they came out with it, I had no idea what I was dealing with. I didn't realize that there was so much stuff there. I hadn't really focused. I said, oh, I'm going to do one in full color, yippee-yay, you know. And I wanted to put that movie out, and I did. Basically, I put it out in a rush because I wanted people to see the spectacular colors of the moon. And, you know, I was traveling, you know, traversing the surface. Celestial brings it home because even when I did Luna, I had to explain at the beginning of the movie, I believe, it says why the moon looks gray from Earth. I had to explain that, right? Then I have these debunkers that are out there saying, ah, Escamilla, you're talking, you know, you're full of it. The moon is a gray, desolate place. There's no color. The color that you see at the USGS, it was contrived. It was a sort of airbrushed by USGS just to show you what it would look like in color. Well, guess what, folks? Celestial, the movie. And when you see this movie trailer coming up, you're going to see that we prove that anyone with a telescope here on Earth and with a $60 camera, all right, can see the moon and film it in full color every night. There's a man in Texas, Richmond, Texas. His name is Bill Bryson. He's been doing this for the last, about 8 months. He saw moon rising, and he saw the full color photography at the end of the film. He says, you know, I'm an astronomer. He's an amateur astronomer. He says, I want to see if the moon is in fact in full color, because if it is, he said, I'd like to see the full color of it. Well, he tried different cameras. And this is the thing, Kevin. My films at least entice somebody to check it out, man. And that's
right.
How we find things, you know. Mm-hmm. The methodology of science is, man, if something doesn't work, try something else. You know, eventually you're going to stumble upon the right mix. Well, he did. What this man does is he found the right camera. It's a $60 camera, of all things. And he's got a regular Celestron telescope. I believe it's a 12-inch. And he's got some spectacular full-color photography of the moon from Earth. Okay? Now remember, all of the debunkers, all of the astronomers, everyone, all the observatories have been showing us nothing but black and white photography of the moon. And there's a reason. It's because you start seeing these things that are there, these structures, these objects. And this gentleman, I opened my movie with it, and it just closes the deal on the whole enchilada. Okay? I serve it to you in a silver platter. Here it is. Now that you know that I'm not full of it and that the moon is in full color, now you know there's a different perspective that we're going to be turned on to from here on. The human perspective about the moon is changing, okay, because of Celestial. This is what makes it far different than Luna and Moon Rising. In fact, I think Celestial is the best work I've done so far.
All right, and it's also going to be in 3D without having to wear glasses, right?
Without glasses. What happened was, I was here messing around, and I think it was about a year ago, and I was watching UFC boxing or something, and, you know, you get something in your eye, and you do this, you know, you have to clean your eye out, and I had my other eye open, and I was looking at the boxing matches, the UFC, and I saw in 3D, because I had closed my eye, so they go, well, that's curious. So, and when we do the movie premiere on the 21st of July, I'm doing a making of that's going to be playing in a loop all day long, the making of Celestial, and in it I explain to people how to see in 3D without glasses. And I checked with my good friend Dr. Roger Lear, and I said, Rod, I had him here as a matter of fact, and I was showing him sequences from Luna, and I said, Roger, check this out, put one hand, keep both eyes open. Put one hand over any one of your eyes, your left eye, your right eye, whichever is comfortable to you, and look at this footage. You are seeing this in 3D without glasses. And sure enough, he flipped out. I mean, he sat here and he didn't want to leave. He wanted to see more. And, you know, when you look at this photography, and we're panning the camera and zooming in and, you know, and going over the surface, it even adds more to the 3D effect. So viewers out there, I urge you, you're going to do this. And, I mean, watch your TV tonight, football game. Put an eye, put a hand over your eye as much as you can stand it, and you're going to see in 3D. And it's a thing called stereo optics or something like this. It happens with the brain and the eyes. It's just a natural thing that occurs within the brain. Some people might do it, get it. Some people won't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, check it out, man, you know.
Okay. Where now you're going to release this? How is it going to be released, in theaters or on the internet, or how are you going to release Celestial?
I just signed up with a company called Brave New Theaters. They're the ones that did the movies Outfoxed, Walmart, The High Price of Low Cost. You know, mm-hmm. They've done a lot of these controversial movies. They have a following of like 3,000 to 7,000 movie theaters across the country that they can get my movie into. So I just signed up with them last night, and I plan to have it in theaters. It's going to be a people's effort because, you know, as I've always maintained, if we don't do it, NASA's definitely not going to do it for us. I'm doing what NASA should have done years ago. They should have shown us the moon in its true form.
Yeah.
We'd have a deeper understanding of what's among us. I mean, just the fact that the moon is a full-color celestial body is in itself one of the biggest discoveries ever, man. I mean, my gosh, you know. And what I'm doing is I'm recruiting website owners all over the world. I already have people in the Netherlands, websites from there, websites from Russia and from Germany. They're all signing up as exhibitors, and they get to post the movie on their website for free.
Mm-hmm.
And people get to see the film worldwide on the 21st of July. Hopefully. One guy in the Netherlands, he said he's got 3 million viewers that mm-hmm. are ready to watch the movie. So it's going to have a big response. And the more people see this, the more effective we're going to be in disclosure. Because here's what happens. Once people realize that the moon is a full-color celestial body, they're going to start thinking, no telling what else has been hidden from us and why. Well, we know why, because you see structures like this huge statue. You're going to see this tower in the movie trailer that you're going to see coming up. You're going to see a huge tower that's probably about 10 miles high, 20 miles high. It's huge. It's massive. And you know, people have this effect on them. You know, a lot of people are in denial. They say, well, why would NASA lie to us? Well, why not? Why would they want you to be privy on what's up there? There's mountains of gold there. They appear like mountains of gold. I have a lady friend of mine that does the prospecting, panning for gold and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, get a look at this photograph. Tell me what you see. And she goes, my God, it looks like gold nuggets. Except these gold nuggets on the moon are 5 times bigger, taller than Mount Everest.
Wow.
So, and there's a multitude of gold-looking stuff up there. I swear to gosh, man, I don't know what to make of it, but I just present it as it is. And this is one thing about my movies, as I always maintain. I'm just showing you what's there. You know,
these are photographs that were taken in the Clementine mission, right?
Yep, in 1994.
And most of that is still classified, isn't it?
Well, figure, man. My movie Celestial is going to have about 600 full-color photographs that I'm going to pan and zoom into and everything else. I downloaded close to 850 photos back in 2009. These are the only thing that they've released of an archive of 1.8 million high resolution, untampered with, full digital color photography. No telling what they have in the 1.8 million.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. There's absolutely.
Just what I had to work with. And I'm bringing you the moon as you've never seen it before. And it's in its true essence. And it's an incredible celestial body to behold, man. And it's right there with us, right there.
Right next door.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I want to invite the audience to join our conversation. And the way you do that is you give us a telephone call if you're in the USA or Canada. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Again, 623-444-5889. And if you forget the number, it's on my website. It's also on the screen if you're watching the show. And why wouldn't you be? Because it's free to watch tonight. So 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment, a question of Jose Escamilla, or a comment about the photographs, or maybe you've seen some of his films, you have a question or comment about that, this is your opportunity to join the conversation. Now, we've already had people trying to call in. However, the telephone lines were not yet open. So this is your opportunity to get your question in and make your comment and talk with Jose Escamilla. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, that telephone number does work. You can call us from there, but we know it can be expensive to do international long-distance calls. So if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we have an additional option. In addition to the telephone number, you can use the flash message option on my website. You'll see the link that says flash message right above the photograph about tonight's show. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Well, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia, and as far as from where I'm calling from my backyard, looking up into the night sky between a couple of sweet gum trees, looking at the full moon, and I'm saying, hello, moon, Jose Escamilla just took your mask off. I mean, Nassau put that mask up there to make it look like the face of Zorro or something, but I'm telling you that mask is off tonight. And furthermore, if there is ever anything like disclosure of UFOs, I know where it's going to come from, and it's not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from Nassau. It's going to come from a partnership of Kevin Smith and Jose Escamilla. Jose, my friend, you have done it. You have pulled it off. And this particular statue and what we're looking at here is just utterly amazing. And as a former combat medic with the Army, and I'm trained to look at terrain and pick something out that other people don't see, this is pretty amazing stuff. And you guys keep up the good work.
Wow.
That's just one photo of hundreds of structures that I'm going to have in Celestial. Wait till you see the Celestial trailer, my friend. I want you to see that tonight. It's going to blow people away, you know? It's blowing me away. I'm just excited.
I'm
going to
see it. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, it's pretty hard to look at this statue, and actually we have a statue of something that looks humanoid, you know, in its shape. I'm not saying that this is a living being standing there, but it looks humanoid in its shape. And then we have a sculpture of an animal right next to that humanoid figure. And that looks like a lioness or a bear or something. And we can see the front part of its body. And then the picture's kind of pixeled out back behind it. We can see, you know, the buildings back there. We can see the pillars, the columns back there. 623-444-5889 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment for Jose Escamilla. You know, one of the things that is so important, folks, is when you have the opportunity to speak, you really should. That opportunity is going away, and it's going away real soon. But when you have that opportunity, you need to speak. If a question comes to your mind, or if you have a comment that you're thinking about, it's there for a reason. It's because other people also need to hear the answer. That's why that thought went through your mind. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. What's on your mind about this? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry from Ohio.
Hey. Yeah, your shirt with one eye there, it kind of pops, you know?
Yeah, does it?
Yeah. you know, I know you're a fan of NASA, but don't we know for a long time that they're a military establishment, foremost and at first, and if they got a project that needs to be getting up there, they take over, and all the other scientific stuff goes to the wayside. So, they're departmentalized, and are we really surprised about that?
Well, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I am a fan of NASA because not everything they do. I'm very, very critical, Terry, of NASA on some things. But I am a fan of NASA overall because even though they are part of the Department of Defense, and even though they do hide things and sometimes lie to us, it's the only way we get any information from out there. You're not getting it from the Air Force. You're not getting it from the Navy. You're not going to get it from the Army. You're not, and all of them have space programs. All of those branches of service have space programs. You're not going to get information from them. They're not in the information business in terms of giving it to the public. So the only outlet there is NASA. If we kill off NASA, then we kill off the information flow, trickle as it may be.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have made these movies, Luna and Celestial and Moon Rising, had it not been for NASA and accidentally stumbling across the USGS website. Who would have thought that the United States Geological Survey would have space stuff? But that's the way it works. You know, they map out astrogeological surfaces. You know, they have Mars, they have all these incredible planets mapped out up there. So and I agree with Kevin, man, had it not been for NASA, I wouldn't be talking to you about the moon in full color. I still think it's black and white by now, you know, but thank God that we found this stuff, and it's time for the human race to evaluate our moon. The moon is a very important celestial body, man. It's there with us. Now we have the opportunity. I want to see dozens of new astronomers, amateur astronomers, get out their scopes, get this little $60 camera. We're going to show you how to do it. Get the brand name. It's a Logitech camera, $60, $64, whatever. Mm-hmm. But go out there and start doing what Bill Bryson does. He's out of Richmond, Texas. He's just a good old Texas guy. You know, he's a great man, and he pursued it, and he's checked it out, and he found it. He niched it for us. So all that has to happen now is we have to get more people out there stargazing, looking at the moon. He's been filming UFOs flying over the moon just because he gazes at the moon all the time, you know? So I want to see a brand new aspect to astronomy and astronomers. We need to change. This is 2012, crying out loud, man. It's not the 60s or the 70s, you know? This is 2012. They're going to land here in December, I think. So you know, this is a bright new world that we can explore.
Yeah, we have to take a break. Terry, do you want to hang on through the break? Okay. We'll be back.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking this evening with Jose Escamilla. And on the telephone with us is Terry from Ohio. Terry, did we answer your question? Do you have another question or comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw one more thing out there. Do you gentlemen believe with these movies and China and, you know, India and them guys going up there and our sources drying up, do you think that they're going to be more free with their information and, you know, crack this egg open? And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. What do you think, Jose?
Japan didn't release any of the big discoveries they made there. And in fact, I said I've seen a lot of fake stuff they've done. I mean, you can tell. India, however, they're the ones that beat us to it by stating that they found water there. Okay, and then the United States, oh, yeah, well, we've known that. Well, yeah, if you know it, then why did you bomb the moon to see if there was ice? Back in 1971, NASA found out there was water there. There was water vapor clouds that flew over the surface of the moon for like, I think, 100 hours or something, you know, and they registered it. They found out there's water there.
Yeah.
So I think what they did is they destroyed something that was in the certain area of that crater where they dropped that bomb, you know. I think they destroyed something that was there they don't want anybody else to get. Plus, check this out, NASA has proclaimed a no-fly rule over certain areas of the moon. Gee, I wonder why. And how can they do that?
I don't know that they can enforce it.
Well, they've done it. They put it out there. They put a law out there that no one can fly in certain areas of the moon.
Well, that will apply to private space companies in the United States that go to the moon, which eventually they will do. But it won't apply, you know, to a Russian company that decides they want to go there and land. They can land wherever they want to.
Yeah, well, just Google no-fly zone.
Yeah, I saw that. In fact, I did a show where we mentioned that. Let's go to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jeff in Philadelphia.
Hello, Jeff in Philadelphia. What's on your mind?
Well, hi, Jose. I just wanted to make a comment on the picture of the statue.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going to think I'm totally insane when I say this, but as I was looking at the image that you enhanced, I didn't see it at first, but I kept looking at it, and then when it sort of came into view now, it's like I can't not see it. Basically, when I look at the statue and I look at the head, it looks like a reptilian head to me. I see large eyes, I see ridges on the forehead, and the thing that really tipped it off for me, or I think makes it look like that, is it looks like it actually has a snout that's kind of pointing downwards, and you can see like a shadow that's cast off of the snout to its, like it's supposed to be its right shoulder. So, I don't know, like I said, everybody's going to think I'm crazy for saying that, but for some reason, now that I see that, it's like every time I look at the image, I can't not see that. I see a reptilian face every time I look at it.
Well, I'm trying. I don't see it. But let me say this. When you said everybody's going to think you're crazy, are they paying your bills?
Well, no, but...
Okay, well, don't worry about what they think.
Though.
Yeah.
You don't have controversial the idea of the whole reptilian thing. That's why I said that. So.
Join the club. Join the High Mile Club.
Yeah, it's, you know, especially with a picture where it's not just crystal clear, where we can see the fine details of the face. You know, some people will see something, some people will see something else. I talked with a guy earlier today, and I sent him the pictures and told him what we were going to be talking about. He owns one of the networks that we're on, and I was just... I told him, I said, this thing's going to sizzle tonight, and I sent him the picture. And he said that he can see a part right down the center of the head. He can see the hair parted. Now, I almost can see that, but...
Now, what he's saying, I see what he's saying. To me, that's what looks like the ridges that are sometimes talked about when people talk about reptilians on the top of their head.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. Well, Jeff, you got another question or comment?
Nope, that was it. Just wanted to make that comment.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Now, right along with that, Jose, I have a flash message here from Jeff in Australia. And he says, Kevin, the picture of the statue you were fiddling with the auto level looks like it's kneeling on its haunches with one knee up and both hands around that knee. And when we had that picture up on the screen, I can visualize that. Yeah,
it could be that.
Good observation.
I'm going to do an in-depth observation on it with my computer software, Photoshop and Adobe After Effects. I'm going to zoom right in. I've got a real clean picture. It's going to blow you away. And
I'm pretty blown away with this one from the Luna film.
Oh, that's nothing, man. When you see this, and that's what's going to be amazing is a lot of people that are starting to look at this stuff, they're going, wow, I see it this way, I see it that way, you know.
Uh-huh.
But don't forget, this thing is 6 to 8 miles high.
That's huge.
That's the big clincher, is that this thing is massive. Somebody built this. And, let me go over one thing real quickly that I was explaining to you earlier, and I'm going to give you some photos to look up on the Internet. I redid the opening of Moon Rising because there's an image that I show at the top of Moon Rising that it was taken by Apollo 17, which was the last mission that we went to the moon. And in it, it shows this object that looks like a huge spaceship of some kind that's crashed on the side of the crater. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I thought it was. It looked like a ship just kind of crashed on the side. And I kept looking for the name of the crater that this comes from. Well, the crater is called the Lobachevsky crater. And I'm going to give you the numbers in a little bit so that your viewers can check it out. But this was taken during Apollo 17, December 1972. And I started looking at it and I said, okay, well, let me see if they photographed the same thing earlier years, because I want to see if they got different angles of this thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, Apollo 16, they did a photography of the Lobachevsky crater. The only thing is, and this was in April 1972, 8 months before Apollo 17 in December. All right, the Apollo 16 mission, they photographed Lobachevsky, and guess what? There's nothing there, just an excavation in the area. It's being excavated, and there's a tower that's standing up, and then you can see what appears to be a doorway and a metallic thing there on the side. But in April of 72, all that was there, Lobachevsky, was an excavation. Somebody was digging out part of the crater, and there was this tower already situated there, but there was no hardcore construction equipment, no cranes, none of that there. It's just a crater with an area carved out, and then this tower. Well, 8 months later, here comes this object that appears there, and it was photographed by Apollo 17. 8 months. Mm-hmm. Now, the crater is about 52 miles wide. All right? This structure is 10 miles wide and about 6 miles high. Now, I looked at it, and I said, I'm going to find this in the Clementine photography, because I want to see the full color photography of it. By the way, the Apollo 17 photo was photographed in full color, but it was published by NASA upside down and all washed out where you couldn't see any details. I had to do some enhancing with the contrast and curves and things to get the color back, the original color of it. So I've done this work, and it's going to be on Celestial. But here's the thing. Somebody or something built the structure within an 8 month period. 8 months. This thing is 10 miles wide, 6 or 8 miles high. I'm going to get the final measurements of how tall this thing is compared to the crater. I just haven't had time. But 22 years later, during the Clementine mission, they photographed the same crater, and it's right there in full color. And I zoom in, and this structure is amazing, man. And somebody or something has carved out a part of the crater, the whole section, a ridge, to where it's flat now, and there's a doorway or a causeway where a pathway that people or whatever can come in and probably get to the structure. And then there's also something else going on here to the left of the crater, of the structure, and there's a real bright glow going on. There's blue smoke coming up. Now at the center of the crater, there's an area that's glowing yellow, real bright. And in the Lobachevsky photo of Apollo 16, they didn't show that part, but in the Apollo 17 photo, you can see the glow is still there. There's also another object here that's kind of round metallic. mm-hmm. which is still there 22 years later in 1994. So what this proves, and I'm not making this up, NASA photographed the proof that somebody or something built this 8-mile-high, 10-mile-wide structure in the Lobachevsky crater within an 8-month period. As I was telling you earlier, even Donald Trump on a better day couldn't do that. All the money in the world that they have, they could not build a structure 10 miles wide, 8 miles high, within an 8-month period from scratch. So,
but somebody did.
Yeah, somebody did. Something or somebody did build this. Uh-huh. And there's no doubt about it. You can't even, debunkers can't even question it.
Okay, so when you say it's a structure, I mean, what kind of structure? Does it look like a building, a hangar, a dome?
When I was looking at it, no, it looks like a spaceship, you know, like a rocket shape. And it has tentacles or wiring at the top of it strewn about. But it also reminds me of a helmet worn by a Knights of the Templar knight. Mm-hmm. You know those helmets that they use that have the opening and the nose guard?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this thing reminds me of. It's a helmet.
Huh.
You know? But
it's a huge helmet.
It's a huge helmet, or it's a structure that looks like that type of a form.
Uh-huh.
From above, it looks almost like an Egyptian reptilian-looking object. From the
now, is that going to be in Celestial?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I put it in the beginning of Moon Rising, but I'm doing a special mix of it in Celestial, because Celestial, no holds barred, man. I'm showing you everything that I've ever found. Everything. And there's hundreds of things there. I'm going to try to pack them in an hour and a half. But if I start running out of time and getting this thing produced, I've got to release it. I can always come out with Celestial 2, the addendum, you know, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because I'm working steadfast, trying to get funding to pay for the music. There's a lot of involvement here, you know, plus getting it promoted and all that, and at the same time editing the movie. So at least it's going to be an hour long, and I'm going to put as much stuff in there that's just going to blow people out. And you know me, I like to show it all, man, and I'm going to show it.
So you've already got the distribution done, the distribution deal.
That's getting worked on, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you have websites signing up where they can host the Celestial on their website. How does that work? They embed a player or what?
Yeah, what it is I have the code. What we'll do. And here's the deal. I happen to work this with a company. It may happen that they're just going to have to put a link to my website, which I'm going to give you the address so your viewers can look at the trailer here in a few minutes. We got how many? We got 15 minutes left, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're 15 seconds away from break, so let's hold that up till we come back from break, okay?
I'll explain how this is being done.
Okay. Outstanding. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to step away for a break. And when we come back from this break, Jose's going to tell you where you can go take a look at the Celestial trailer. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jose Escamilla, and we have been talking about the moon and some very incredible stuff that is on the moon, photographed by NASA. These are official photographs, and I've selected a couple of them because they show artwork, and artwork equals civilization. Jose, you said you were going to tell everybody where they can go see this trailer at your website.
Yes, I just created the website. It's called thecelestialmovie.com. Thecelestialmovie.com. That's thecelestialmovie.com. You can go in there and view the trailer, and it has a blog, so you can leave your comments after you see the trailer and what this film means to you. Also, on the right-hand side, there at the website, I have an area that says Jose Escamilla websites. There's an exhibitor sign-in. If you want to exhibit the movie on your website and host it, click on that link and sign up. There's a viewers link. If you just want to view it, we need as many numbers of people that are saying they're going to watch it that night, because we're going after sponsors, you know, to advertise and to help compensate some of the costs involved. And if you're a sponsor, if you have a company or an individual that wants to become an executive producer or a producer, I'm selling movie credits, sponsorship ads, and everything else of this nature. If you want to donate and contribute to the making of the film, I need money to fund the licensing of the music. That's the most important thing. I'm doing the rest of it, you know, the editing and producing and directing. So I just have to pay for the music, that's all. And that costs money. It ain't cheap. So go over there and look at the trailer, and it's going to blow you out, man. And I want you to look at that one tower. I call it the Eiffel Tower on the moon, because it looks like the Eiffel Tower, you know. And this is probably about 10 miles high. I'm going to get all the distances and everything organized by the time I release the movie. But I have to say, Kevin, when you look at this trailer, it just brings it. And it just brings it home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be it's an awesome movie, and I can't wait till July 21st. So that's where we go.
I'm looking forward to July 21st as well. I want to see this movie. I've seen your other movies. I know you do fantastic work. And, you know, folks, no one else went out there and found these color photographs and brought them to you in movies. Nobody else downloaded them and saved them before NASA or USGS went in and messed with them. Okay, it's Jose Escamilla, and listen, this is going to be a pivotal event in UFO history. And when I say UFO history, I'm calling it that, even though this movie's not about UFOs, it's about the moon. But what we see in these videos that Jose produces, and not videos, films, in these movies that he produces, what we see is evidence that somebody is on the moon. And therefore, whatever they're flying, well, that's UFOs.
Someone or something.
Or something, yeah. It's possible. It's all robotic. But not likely. I don't think robots do art, but maybe they do. I don't know. What can you say about this photograph here? This photograph shows quite clearly artwork, sculpture. This photograph from Luna shows quite clearly that there's structure and building back behind the statue. And when you compare the buildings to the statue, you can see just how huge this statue really is. It's gigantic. It's really, really huge. Jose, has there been a point in all of this where you have said to yourself, wow, I don't know if it's worth just going on with this? Has it gotten to that point ever?
You know, I've had a lot of difficulty getting these movies made, right? And yeah, that, you know, there comes a time when I go, why am I doing this? You know, I just can't afford to do this. People think I'm hoaxing things, you know, that and the other. But you know what? It doesn't matter to me. One way or the other, I'm going to get the movies done. And it's very well worth it, because I know I would have wanted to know. If someone finally said, hey, here's the moon in full color, I would have wanted to see that film, all right?
Yeah.
And nobody's doing it, so I decided to do what I feel should be, I would have wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's well worth it, because when you people start looking at the moon in its full color photography, my God, it's just going to turn your, it's going to change the way you perceive the moon drastically. I'm talking, it's going to be stunning and shocking at the same time. It's so beautiful up there. So, yeah, I have thought about giving, you know, throwing in the towel and giving up, but I'm not that kind of guy, you know.
I forget which astronaut it is that came back and became an artist, And actually published, somebody's messing with your video feed again. It's blinking from time to time, Jose, but we still have you. Anyway, he became an artist, and he published some of these photographs, I think, in a book. And it shows colors very similar to what you are showing, these photographs from the USGS about, you know, the full color of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody asked him, and, it's funny, I can't remember which astronaut it was, but they asked him about, well, you know, all these colors and everything. And he said, well, you know, I just tried to, convey the colors that we saw, you know, and that sort of pastel colors around on the moon. And it was kind of, it made a little bit of news, but then it was kind of swept under the carpet and hushed up. But that actually happened. And, you know, if we had paid attention, if we had listened, we would have known way back then that there was color on the moon, but it was hard for us to imagine that because all we ever see is black and white.
Yeah, and in those days, the live feed was in black and white, and it was poor black and white because it got downlinked from the moon to Australia,
mm-hmm.
and then from Australia to the United States, and then the TV cameras were not allowed to get a direct feed. They were forced to film or videotape what was on the NASA screen, which was already degraded. So you just didn't get the real picture. However, you can go up on any NASA website, and there's a lot of stuff that slips through the cracks, man. And they cannot deny that the moon is not a full-cover celestial body anymore. Now that you're seeing my movie trailer, you can see how this little amateur astronomer named Bill Bryson out of Richmond, Texas, figured out that the moon is full color, and he can film it every day with his telescope and a $60 camera, Logitech cam. And he figured a way to put it together, and we're going to release that information too. Bill is a great guy, and he just brings it, man. He just clinches it for everyone.
All right, we are out of time, and I want to thank you, Jose, for being with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, Jose Escamilla. Jose, stay on the line with me for a moment. I'd like to chat with you for a moment after we go off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the moon, it's right next door, and that's not a Chinese wedding lamp we were looking at. You got to know that. That's not a Chinese wedding lamp. When was the last time you let someone convince you after you saw a cow that when was the last time you let somebody convince you that a cow was a Cadillac? Okay? You don't do it. So don't let people convince you you didn't see what you saw here tonight. You did see it. And I recommend that you go get Jose's movie, Luna. It's well worth watching Luna, and you'll see this and a lot more in Luna. And as he's been telling us here tonight, that's not even scratching the surface of what we'll see in celestial. Pardon me. All right, it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.